What's an abortion? An abortion is called a voluntary abortion, the removal of an embryo or a fetus from the uterus in order to end a pregnancy, a spontaneous abortion, or anything, this is what grabs my attention, anything that fails to develop progress, anything that fails to develop, progress, mature, as a design or a project. Those of you who don't know what an embryo or fetus is, this is what they call the infant, the baby that's growing inside a teenager, a mother, me, a wife. Margaret Higgins Sanger, those of you who haven't known and don't know who she is, I recommend that you go to your public library and you do research about her in the library, because through Google and through other these medias, through the actual internet, they tend to place her as a good person, as a person who did a lot of change and good changes. She is the opposite of good. Okay, so let's clear that up. She's an atheist. She doesn't believe that there's a God. She doesn't believe in anything. Okay, she's a socialist. She contribute articles on a health to on health to the Socialist Party paper called The Call back in 1913. From 1952 to 1959, she served as president of the International Planned Parenthood Federation. At the time, it was the largest private international family organization, family planning organization, also known as Planned Parenthood. This organization still is the largest. This is the company that does the most abortions here within the United States. She founded this. This is what she's all about. She wrote one of her books, her first handbook published here to the left, for adolescents, for you guys, in 1915, and it entitled What Every Boy and Girl Should Know, featured a scaring excerpt from this actual book. It is a vicious cycle. Ignorance breeds poverty, and poverty breeds ignorance. There is only one cure for both, and this is to stop breeding these things, meaning babies. Stop bringing to birth children whose inheritance cannot be one of health or intelligence. Stop bringing into the world children whose parents cannot provide for them. She believes, okay, you're gonna see it later. She's a racist. She does not like blacks. If you didn't know, she doesn't like them. And yet, the founding person that you see on the public eye of Planned Parenthood, that you see now, is an African American person. And yet, in her books, in her quotes, she downgrades them. I mean, to a core. She also stated that many Americans of African origin constituted as unfit. Check this out. From the beginning, you see her advocacy of sex education reflected in her interest in population control and birth prevention among the unfit. First of all, who is she to say that if one of you get married and have a baby and say that, oh, you can't have that baby because it's unfit? Who are you to tell me that? Who is she to tell you guys that? The Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery recently opened a new federally funded exhibit that celebrates women who have changed and challenged America over the past century. Here's a slap to the face. Guess who's included in this list? Margaret Sanger. She's on there. And they view her as this great person. She changed America, yet she was a feminist. I want you to go home and do research on her too, so you can see proof about this woman and what her true beliefs are. Mind you, when President Barack Obama was campaigning and he first said in 2007 that he was running for president, he stood up in a podium with the Planned Parenthood pictures on the back, thanking Planned Parenthood for supporting his campaign. If he did it when he did, if he did it when he announced that he was going to become president, what makes you think that he does not give federal funding, your parents' tax dollars, my tax dollars, to Planned Parenthood? And there's one 2 blocks away, mind you. What the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery failed to report was that she founded the largest abortion chain in the country, Planned Parenthood. They also failed to report her famous racist ideology on birth control, eugenics. She's behind that, all the way. Basically, what does that mean, eugenics? It's basically the creation of a master race, okay? You create a master race that's perfect, blonde, blue eyes, white skin, and you control the population by saying who has children and who doesn't. She believes in that. Hitler believed in that, and she also backed him up. This is what she believes in. I want you to take a look here. Here, she's talking to the KKK. Okay? Do research on this. She spoke, this was way back when, but she did speak in the KKK about eugenics and about birth control and controlling population. Here, this is what then Senator Barack Obama, but this is what our president said, quoted, "If my daughter makes a mistake, meaning pregnancy, to become pregnant, I don't want them punished with the baby." My question is, since when is having a baby punishment? You might think of it as a punishment. Someone might think of it as a punishment if you do it out of wedlock. Because all of a sudden, oh, I'm too young. But I'm here to tell you, if you're too young to have sex, if you're too young to make this decision, if you're too young to step up and be a man and be a woman and say, okay, I'm going to father this child, I'm going to be the mother of this child, I'm going to take care of it, I'm going to do whatever I can, don't have sex. Stop it, and you wait. There's other things that you can do with your life versus sitting around and having sex with the whole world, opening up your legs in and out, or a guy doing it with how many other women he can. If you can't face up to the challenge, if your girlfriend becomes pregnant, if you can't step up to that plate, don't have sex. That's my advice to you. In the first month of the trimester, the first couple weeks, weeks 4 to 7, the beginning of the first trimester, the baby is an embryo consisting of 2 layers of cells from which all the organs and all the body parts will start to develop. They all start developing, and if you see this little strip here, this little strip within this circle right here, that is the embryo. That is the baby. With Madison, those of you who know me, I have a 2-year-old. She's special. We call her Diva. Those of you who know Madison, you know why we call her a Diva. I won't go into detail. I, at 4 weeks pregnant with Madison, 4 weeks, I heard Madison's heartbeat. That is how small she was. I heard her heartbeat. Don't let the media fool you. Don't let anybody fool you. Keep in mind, abortion is legal in the USA, in the United States, at any time throughout the entire 9 months of pregnancy for any reason. Anytime between the 9 months, you want to have an abortion? Go ahead. It's legal. It's legal here. This is due to a woman's mental health exception. I don't call it a mental health. I just think she's not woman enough. That's what it is. Second month, 8 weeks to 12 weeks. The baby is now the size of a kidney bean, and it's constantly moving. Okay? All of a sudden, you're going to start, if you're a woman, if you're a girl here, you get pregnant, you're going to start feeling kind of like little gases, and then they start coming as a kick. That's the baby moving. Has distinct and slightly webbed fingers. You can actually see it's detailed. through a sonogram, you can actually see the detail in the little bones of the baby's hands. It's beautiful. Within the third month, which is 13 to 14 to 16 weeks, by now the baby is about 3 inches long and weighs nearly an ounce. The tiny new unique fingerprints are now new in place. Okay? God has given us all our own set of fingerprints. This is where it starts. You can't replicate your fingerprints. No one else is going to have your fingerprints. That's what makes you you. That's what makes you different. Okay? This is where it starts in the third month. In the fourth month, which is 14 to 20 weeks, the beginning of the second trimester, there's three trimesters. This is when you know the sex of the baby. You go to your first sonogram. The first thing the nurse is going to tell you is the sex of the baby. Then the nurse will actually do this whole sonogram to see the whole spine, to check the whole body parts, the bones, does this whole examination that probably lasts 45 minutes to an hour. And you do get to see what you're having. The baby is now 5 inches long and weighs 5 ounces. The skeleton is starting to harden from the rubbery cartilage of the bone. It's all the bones now are starting to get into place. It's beautiful how God created this. 5 months, 21 weeks to 24 weeks. Eyebrows and eyelids are now in place. And a close-up picture, I couldn't get it, but there is a picture where you can see this same picture, but the baby with the eyebrows, it looks like little, like there's like a piece of tape here, and it's because it's starting to grow, the little hairs. It's really cute. The baby would now be more than 10 inches long if you stretched out all its little legs. All its legs, it'll be 10 inches long. In the sixth month, 25 weeks to 29 weeks, the baby weighs about a pound and a half, and the wrinkled skin is starting to smooth out as the baby puts on baby fat. How does the baby put baby fat? By the mom, as she starts eating. That's why the woman tends to gain weight, some women, like thus me, okay? The seventh month, 30 to 33 weeks, the beginning of the third trimester. This is it. This is where the going has stopped. This is where all your cravings come like 50 times harder, okay? Yeah, it's scary. By now, the baby weighs 3 pounds and is more than 15 inches long. The baby can now open and close the eyes and follow light. It can detect light. I remember with Nathaniel, I would sit down, honest to God, I would sit down in the sermon. Every time the pastor got up and preached, he danced. Nathaniel moved and moved because he already recognized the pastor's voice. The few times that the pastors would go on vacation and me and Gio stood back, Carlos would go up. It was like, I'm chilling. Not that he didn't like him, but he knew his voice. So it's hilarious how a baby who's not born yet and yet is alive can detect, start following the light. Mind you, it's in utter darkness, meaning in the womb. It's not like he can see. There's no light there. But he can follow it. 8 months, 34 weeks to 37 weeks. This is where Madison was born. She couldn't wait. They gave me the due date of April 17th, and she's like, no, I'm coming March 30th. The baby now weighs about 3 3/4 pounds, 3 3/4. The layers of fat are now filling out and making him or her rounder, and his lungs are well developed. So here, you can actually, a woman who is 8 months pregnant, you can already tell she's pregnant or not. She can't hide it. There's no way. Even if she's skinny and she has a little butterball, or in my case, if it was Nathaniel and all of a sudden it's over here and I technically can't see my feet, he was a 10-pound baby. So with Nathaniel, I couldn't see my feet. And with Madison, I was like, I had to go like this. I was like, okay. It's hilarious. In the 9 month, 38 weeks to 40 weeks, the average baby is more than 19 inches long. My kids were 21, 22 inches long, and weighs nearly 7 pounds now, but babies vary widely in size at this stage. Usually before you give birth, they do one more sonogram to kind of have an idea on the weight of the baby. Well, they gave me the wrong weight for Nate. They were like, oh yeah, he's gonna be 8 pounds. The next thing you know, the doctor comes back, okay, we're gonna do a C-section. And I was like, okay. He comes back, they put him on the scale, 10 pounds. And Madison was 8 pounds. The stats, what do the stats show? What does statistics show? What do they prove on abortion? Let's figure out. Worldwide, approximately 42 million abortions each year, worldwide. Approximately 115,000 abortions a day, worldwide. All statistics were found at the Allen Gunmaker Institute. In the United States, approximately 1.37 million abortions a year as of 96. And approximately 3,700 abortions a day. Who's having abortions? Well, 52% of women obtaining abortions in the U.S. are younger than 25. 32% of them are between the ages of 20 and 24. 20% of them are between the ages of 13 and 19. And girls that are under 15 account for 1.2%. So younger than 25 has the most. Yes. They're milking everybody they can get. And guess what? These Planned Parenthood locations, they're located in the areas, okay, where, for example, the Hispanics are and the African Americans. You won't see it. You will not see it in the middle of Coral Gables. You won't see it in the middle of Bar Harbor. You're going to see it within amongst Hispanics and amongst African American. Why? Because apparently we're more prone to have an abortion. But I'm going to show you statistics. Who's having an abortion within the marital status? 64.4% of all abortions performed are on never married women. They've never been married. Haven't even thought about it. Because they're too busy having sex and aborting. Married women account for 18.4% of abortions. Now, these abortions do include abortion, meaning I don't want the baby, and also includes miscarriages, okay? Divorced women also obtain 9.4%. Who's having abortion within the race? Well, while white women obtain 60% of all abortions, their abortion rate is well below that of minority women. Who's a minority? Well, black women are more than 3 times as likely as a white woman to have an abortion, and Hispanic women are roughly 2 times likely that. That's how it is. Those are your stats. So why? Why women are having it? Whoever tells you and gives you the argument, oh, because of incest. No, because what if they get raped? Well, 1% of all abortions occur because of rape and incest. So that argument no longer exists. Throw it out the door, because it's only 1%. 6% of abortions occur because of potential health problems regarding either the mother or child. 93% of all abortions occur because of social reasons. What are those social reasons? Well, the child is unwanted. It's inconvenient. The time is not right. I'm too young. I have so much life to live. I don't know who the baby daddy is. You fill in the blank. These are the reasons why 93% of abortions occur. This is why here in the United States. You pick a reason, there it goes, right there. At what gestational age are abortions performed? Meaning, during the process of pregnancy, during the whole three trimesters, when is it most prone? 52% of all abortions occur before the 9th week. Right when you hear the baby's heartbeat, that's where it happens. Okay? 25% happen between the 9th and 10th week. 12% between the 11th and 12th. 6% between the 13th and 15th. 4% between 16th and 20th week. Meaning, if it happens all of the above up to now, the 20th week, guess what? You already know the sex. And you know if you're having triplets or twins. Because it does happen between triplets and twins. 1% of abortions, which is 16,450 a year, happen after the 20th week. That's still a big number. These are your stats. The likelihood, an estimated 43% of women will at least have one abortion by the time they are 45 years old. 47% of all abortions are performed on women who have had at least one previous abortion. I had a coworker of mine who told me way back ago, when me and Gio were recently married, because I was working at a doctor's office, she told me that her friends would have an abortion and it was just as going shopping. They were in and out and then they went shopping. In and out, they went clubbing. In and out, and they just went about their business. And yet on the flip side of that, I had another coworker within the same company come up to me and confess to me that she had been married. It had been 15 years that they had the last child, and all of a sudden, she got pregnant and had an abortion, and now she's going through infections. Her husband did not know. Big guilt trip. This is an interesting story. Stephen Atterburn, he is the founder of Woman of Faith. I've been there. Me and Connie have gone. Great event. He's 59 years old now, the founder of Woman of Faith. When he was in college, between 18 and 19 years old, mind you, it was a Christian college, he pushed and paid for his girlfriend to have an abortion. He pushed for it, insisted, paid for it, and his girlfriend went along with it. He had to grieve the loss of a child and the person that he was and wanted to be. He had to grieve the loss of failure. Check this out. After he grieves, he has a book based on this testimony. After he grieves, he starts having stomach problems because of this guilt. He ends up having almost 80 ulcers within his stomach because of the guilt trip of pushing and paying for an abortion. 17 years ago, Madeline, his daughter, was placed in his life. He has two children, Carter and James. When he married his wife, they have two kids. They adopt Madeline, who is 17. And now, him and his wife recently gave birth to his son, Solomon. He's now a Christian, him and his wife. His daughter, Madeline, was there throughout the whole entire birthing experience. This is the flip side of it. What makes Madeline special in his life is the fact that even though she was adopted, they both were able to experience what they had never experienced before, which was the birth of Solomon through God's infinite grace. Now that he has his own son, his wife told him, now if I go, if God takes me, now I'm complete because I was able to give you a son. Because he always, his dream was to always have a son. He never knew the sex of the baby that his girlfriend aborted. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus Christ can actually make him free from all that guilt, from all that ugliness. Only Jesus can do that in his life. If he would have gone somewhere else, gone to another religion, he would have been worse. He probably committed suicide in years from that. But by the grace of God, now he can testify, speak about it. Not only that, this woman of faith, this is an organization where it goes city by city. Thousands of Christian women gather in one place to worship God, to know about God and how to become a better wife, a better friend, a better mother. And here you go, the founder comes in and speaks and slaps every woman in the face when he tells her that. I remember when he said that, I was just like, oh my God. It was a shock because, first of all, I didn't think it was a guy who was founding that. I thought it was a woman. Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Sorry for that. There we will receive his mercy and he will find grace. We will find grace to help us when we need it. You need help tonight? You got to go to God. That's your solution. Here are the procedures, the abortion procedures. Here on this diaphragm, it's called a DNE, also known as dilation and extraction, often called DNE. It's used between the second and third trimester and is usually performed on a viable baby. It's a living baby. The ultrasound guides the actual procedure and is essentially the breech delivery of a live baby. Forceps inserted through the cervical canal are used to position the fetus so that it can be delivered feet first, face down. So here you see the instruments going in. And they just cut away. The baby is alive. Keep that in mind. Here, the child's body is then pulled through the birth canal by the head, too large to pass through the cervix, and is left inside. Here, they're like trying to probe to try and turn the baby. Okay? And there you go. I want you to take a really good look at this picture. Where you see that long strip there, that stick, what they're sucking out is the hand of a baby that's left. So in this procedure, they got to go back inside and make sure that all the body parts are out, because if not, the woman will get an infection, could die from it, because her body is still telling her that she's pregnant. So that's why an abortion, when you go through the process, when a woman goes through the process of an abortion, it's an abnormal process, because you're telling your body that you don't want to be pregnant anymore, but your body is already telling you, and it's already formed and programmed to go through 9 months, but you're telling it, no, 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 no. Within the first and second month, you're like, no, I don't want to have the baby. Stop. So this is an abnormal procedure that you're doing to your body. So here they scrap up again, and they just start cleaning it. On this one, they take it through the feet, and they start pulling. This little clamp is to literally cut the body parts first. That's what it's used for. Here, they've already gotten the leg, an arm. Please keep in mind, this baby is still alive. I want you to keep that in mind. This baby is still alive. It's still alive. Now you see, it being still alive, they start cutting out, probing. There you see the body parts, his intestines. Until they get the head. No. This is all painful. Yeah, for both of you. Check that out.
There's an actual video online where you see the baby trying to kick away the instruments.
You could actually see videos on YouTube. Exodus 1:16-17. Mark it. Hold on to it. I want you to read Exodus chapter 1. Because if you think that this whole abortion started now, no. This happened way back when. in Exodus. Murder is still the same before and after birth. Period. Still the same. And you know what's funny? That if I were pregnant now and I were to get into a car accident, if the baby dies, the person is still that actually got involved within my car accident, if the baby dies, he's charged with second-degree murder, with double murder. If I die, it's double murder. How do you like those apples? And yet they don't want to consider it. Oh, it's a baby. No, it's a fetus. You can't call it a baby yet. No, it's still alive. It's alive. What are you talking about? Exodus 1, 16 through 17. Read the whole chapter. Here we see Pharaoh. Pharaoh tells two midwives to go to these Hebrew women, watch their delivery. If they're a boy, kill it. If these Hebrew women start having babies and they're boys, kill them right in the spot. If they're girls, save them, hold them. It was a mandate that he did. So here, Pharaoh, he said, well, when you do the duties of a midwife, which is what a nurse does through the whole birthing process, he says, for the Hebrew women, and see them on their birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. If it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do so as the king of Egypt commanded them, which is Pharaoh, but saved the male children alive. Read that whole chapter, because it's amazing how these two midwives said, no. We don't serve you, we serve our creator. So even though they're going to produce males, we're going to still keep them alive. An amazing thing. My question is, would you have done the same thing? Because I don't know who's willing enough to go against the grain nowadays. The saline abortion. This, I think, is the worst. I want you to keep in mind that there are many procedures. I'm just giving you the most popular ones. Apparently, they say that in the United States, they don't use the saline method. It's the same method as the DNA abortions, okay? It's the same thing, but it's been replaced. The extreme risk to the mother has removed from the common practice today. In saline abortions done after the 16th week, a large needle is inserted through the mother's abdominal wall. The mom is feeling this, mind you, and into the baby's amniotic sac. This is the little sac, the little circle where the baby lives. That amniotic sac, that needle is inserted inside. A concentrated salt solution is injected into this amniotic sac, resulting in acute hypernatremia. I'm sorry. Or accurate salt poisoning. The baby breathes and swallows the solution and is usually dead within a couple of hours because of salt. It's pure salt. So you try and picture yourself now breathing in and exhaling in a room full of salt in a tight space. That's hard to do. Yes. Therefore, that leads to dehydration within the female, hemorrhaging of the brain, organ failure, burned skin also contributes to the fetus demise, and the mother generally goes into labor the next day and delivers a dead baby. Okay? Keep this in mind. Salt saline. Well, guess what? Gianna Jensen, Christian, she has what she refers to as a gift of cerebral palsy. Weighing a merely 2 pounds at birth, and the doctor said that she would never be able to hold up her head, sit up, crawl, or walk. She begins to walk by the age of 3 with the help of leg braces and a walker, an orphan, placed in foster care system early on in life, eventually being taken into a loving home of a woman named Penny. Why is she important? Well, Gianna is a Christian. Gianna's biological mother was 17 years old when she had a saline abortion in her third trimester. After being burned alive for approximately 18 hours in the womb, after the saline solution, Gianna was delivered alive in a Los Angeles County abortion clinic. Her medical records state that during, she was born during saline abortion, and this is what caused her cerebral palsy. And people have the audacity and say that there's no God. Here's another part. Dilation and extraction, which is also called a DNX, partial birth abortion. The abortionist grabs one of the baby's legs with forceps. The leg is then pulled into the birth canal. The baby is alive. Using his hands, the abortionist delivers the baby's body, and the head remains inside. The abortionist forces scissors into the base of the baby's skull. He then opens the scissors to enlarge the hole. A suction catheter is inserted into the womb, and the baby's brains are sucked out, and the child is then removed. Here are your pictures. 8 weeks. 9 weeks, the size of a quarter. 10 weeks. You have a limb. You can actually see the actual hands. Here you can actually see his intestines, the heart, the lungs. Here you can actually see his hands, his bones, his structure. At 11 weeks, 22 weeks, I want you to see the size of the baby. These are actual, real pictures. These are actual, real pictures. This here is the umbilical cord. You can actually see their arms. Here they're placed in a garbage bag, like if they're junk. Here you can see that it's dead. His skin is black. And the pictures go on. I would say 100% of these babies are left to die. If they're not dead, they just leave them there and they just die. Here you have people putting them in bags so that companies within the United States can buy them and use them for products. They deteriorate the body, and they might use it for makeup and other stuff. And here you go again. They wash them. They go through this process like if it's natural, like if it's just dirt. What does the Bible say about an abortion? Some of you might be thinking. There's no verse in the Bible that says, "Thus saith the Lord, abortion is wrong or right." Nevertheless, that should not give you the license to tamper with your body as we please. Genesis 1:27 says that God created man into his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" Talking to the believer. "Who is in you, whom formed you and received you from God? Are you not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore honor God with your body." Here we see how God judges the nations that kill children. 2 Chronicles 28:3. here you see an incident where people start worshiping other gods but God. And because of these other gods that they start worshiping, all of a sudden they decide to give their babies as sacrifices and burning them to honor these other gods. This is what happens in 2 Chronicles. I urge you to take these scriptures home and actually look, test, to see if these are right. God sees every sin in Jeremiah 16, 17. I don't want you to think that God is up there and he doesn't know your thoughts. He doesn't know what you do on a daily basis. He doesn't know what you did today or yesterday. He keeps record of everything that you do. He sees everything, whether your action was a good action or a bad reaction. He sees it all. Whether you did something out of pride, whether you did something out of anger, whether you did it out of love, he sees it. He saw it. That's it. He also talks about welcoming children as welcoming Christ. Mark 9, 36 through 37. Jesus also welcomes children. Luke 18, 15 through 17. He says that we should come to him as children. That's how we should come up to him. Just like children go up to their parents, just like they came to Jesus, that's how we should come to him. David says and said that when he praises God, for overseeing his life, starting before he was born, and how he gives thanks first for the fantastic way that the human body was designed and constructed. Also, finally, for the fact that every day of his life is laid out and recorded in the book. He gets to a point where he says that. Where? Psalms 139, 13 and 17. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me, so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me well as I was formed in the utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They are innumerable. That is powerful. Here we have a testimony. Her mom, her father are here in church members. At approximately 4.5 months pregnant, her mom, the baby being about 17 weeks old, after having some routine pregnancy blood work, Victoria's mom results came back showing high levels of certain protein in her blood. This sign was noted as possibly having a defect called spinal bifida. After a second and third opinion, sonograms demonstrated that the baby was developing with a small opening in her spine. The defect can lead to many problems as the spinal opening affects the child's nervous system, which in turn affects the bladder, bowels, brain movement due to swelling to the brain, and even the potential to have weak limbs or paralysis in the lower extremities. If you were a Christian here, what would you have done if you were 4.5 months pregnant and the doctor told you that your baby can come out like that? She was born June 4, 2009, by the grace of God. Victoria was born via planned C-section at almost 39 weeks. She was immediately transferred to the neonatal intensive care unit at Miami Children's Hospital. The following day, surgeons repaired the opening in her lower spine. 2 days later, doctors noticed that she was accumulating water in her brain, which led to a second surgery to insert a shunt in her head to continuously move excess water pressure from her brain. After 2 weeks later, a nurse noticed another leak from her shunt, which led to a third surgery to clean the shunt, which had gotten clogged. Victoria received 3 surgeries in 19 days. From the moment she was born, she had 3 surgeries. what will you have done? She's 1 year old, walking, doing what every 1 year old does, alive and well. The first year was living hell for her parents because they had to insert a catheter. So every 24 hours for the next almost year, for a 24-hour span, every day, for every 4 hours, you had to insert a catheter and drain the urine out of the baby. Would you have gone through that if you would have been a father or a mother? Governor Chris Christie, last week he passed a budget cut in New Jersey of $7.5 million that was funding 58 family planning clinics. Of those 58, 29 of them were Planned Parenthood run. The cut was made due to an $11 million deficit in the state that currently had. Well, 10 of the Democrats that saw this cut got irate because, oh no, family comes first. No, he touched a nerve. He touched a nerve. Keep him in prayer. So that way, if he keeps receiving a lot of heat, he won't move. He'll stand his ground. Keep him in prayer. Love. We can't touch it, count it, bottle it. We can't even see it. But who among us argues you what real love is? Love makes sane people do and say crazy things. It promotes snobby, selfish people to do noble things. It turns boring people into exciting, unpredictable creatures, apparently. Love can hurt like nothing else in the world, and yet, paradoxically, not loving is much more painful. Love, the most talked about and sung about and thought about theme in all the world, and yet also the most misunderstood. Love is not everything you think, but much more. Though you cannot feel it, touch it, nor see it, you still believe in it, and you still know that it exists. Yet women, teens, and girls have an abortion knowing that there is a living human being forming inside of them, not because they believe that it's there, but because a sonogram proved it, a pregnancy test proved it, hearing the heartbeat proved it, and etc. They still go through it. Real love, 1 John. Oh, I got that wrong. It's in 1 John. I did a blank. If we say that we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from every wrong. That's Jesus. DC Talk, Supernatural. Love them. My husband plays their songs all the time, and it always hits me in those precise moments. Well, yesterday was a precise moment because I was going through something. And in this song, Supernatural, it says, 6 days the universe was made. Supernatural. From the dead, a man was raised. Supernatural. Then they say he walked across waters. Supernatural. And I believe it to my grave. I need an intervention, a touch of providence. It goes beyond religion to my very circumstance. What is your circumstance today? Because obviously, if they sung about something that they can take it to their grave, and they sung about the Creator, and they spoke about something that went beyond religion and it got to their very being, what is your circumstance? What is so impossible that God cannot resolve and God cannot clear up for you? Because as teens, we tend to go to different outlooks, we turn to different medias, we turn to other things, but we never run to the actual solution. Luke 3:3 says that Jesus replied, I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. You can never see it. It'll just be a glimpse of your imagination, something someone told you. It'll be another story, another novel. Isaiah 1:18, it's the second half. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it, Jesus said. Even if your stain is as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. Those are powerful words. Real love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know what your situation is here today. I don't know it. You might not want to look at this picture, but what bothers me is that you might not want to look at it, but you rather look at obscene things. You rather look at images and at other things that degrade him. That's why I did that on purpose. He's not on that cross anymore because he rose again. The third day he rose from that cross. If you're here today, and if you pressured a girlfriend, a fling, to abort, if you thought about abortion, if you thought it was right, if you thought it was right before the eyes of God because you're too young, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, today is the day. Today is the day where God makes everything right. Forget about what you did as of today. Today is a day where he makes it all go away. His blood, the blood that he shed on the cross, cleanses your deepest sin. It could be an abortion. It could be lying. It's still the same sin. A sin is a sin. That's what God calls it. A sin is a sin. Whether you lied, whether you stole, whether you saw pornography, whether you drank, whatever it was, a sin is a sin. Remember that your body should be the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't dwell in you if all you do is sin. You can't say, I'm going to heaven if your parents come to church. They don't give you that ticket. It's a one-way ticket. It's a one-on-one ticket. It only happens individually. I can't take you all there. I'm sorry. I can't take you all there. Let's bow our heads real quick. Lord Father God, I thank you for this evening. And I just ask that if there's anyone here today that wants to make their relationship right again, maybe they fell astray along the way, if they want to make it right again, I ask that you would raise your hand. If you want to accept Jesus as your first time, keep your hands raised. If you want to accept Jesus Christ for the first time, raise your hand. You know what's going on because he's tugging. He's tugging at your heart. That's the Holy Spirit. Don't resist. I'm not going to invite you here because the Bible says that all you got to do is believe. If you don't want to raise your hand, that's fine. But if you leave here tonight and you believe in Jesus, you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, that you renounce everything that you've done, that you renounce everything, and you give it all unto God, and you give him control of your ever being, of your whole life, of your plans. That's it. If I die today and you die tomorrow, I'll see you in heaven. So Lord, I just want to ask you that you would just bless every person here tonight. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak about this topic, Lord. And I thank you for everyone that made it. Everyone that's here tonight, I ask, Lord Father God, that you would strengthen their relationship with you, you straighten their walk with you, that they would hunger and thirst for your righteousness once again, that they can make things right here tonight, Father God. I thank you for your blood that was shed on the cross. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love and your mercy and your kindness. I thank you, Father God, for your amazing love that was shed on that cross. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.